Our psalm meditation today will be on Psalm 70 as we continue through the book of Psalms. Psalm 70 in the New King James Version. This is a psalm of David, and it's titled here in the superscription, "To bring to remembrance or to call to mind." Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Jehovah. Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my hurt. Let them be turned back because of their shame who say, "Aha, aha." Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, "Let God be magnified." But I am poor and needy. Make haste to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Jehovah, do not delay. Now, in Psalm 70, we see a short part of what we've seen in the last several psalms. The last several psalms, as I've shown you from the context, the internal structure, and in the New Testament, quotations of them and attributions, the last several psalms that were psalms about, not about, psalms by Jesus himself, that he wrote for us to give to the church through all time, so that the church before his incarnation, children, that means before he came in the flesh, so the church before the incarnation could see the beauties of the gospel and the tragedy of the gospel. And that's something that we don't bring to remembrance often enough. The church at large does so once a year, and they do it kind of in a glossing over fashion, but at least they do bring it to mind. As we go through these psalms, we do it the way, and in our minds, not arrogantly saying this, but as we see God's blessing in it, we see that we bring to remembrance in these psalms, properly understood, on a weekly basis, the sacrifice of Jesus. And again, as I said, the beauty of it, but the tragedy also of the sacrifice that he made. The other ones, the ones that we've looked at recently, took a larger swath, a deeper cut, or a wider cut, if you would, at the last few days of Jesus' life. Looking at his trial and the conspiracy against him, how those at the gate and the drunkard in the streets and all of them mocked him and used him as a byword, as an example to make fun of others, as an example of just how bad something can get. And all of that was foretold in the Old Testament, as we see in the Psalms, of course, but in other places as well, that the Lamb of God who would come in the future would have no beauty that anyone would esteem him, that he'd be rejected by his own people, that he'd be hung on the tree as one accursed, dying for the sins of the nation. And we see that in Isaiah and other prophets as well. And now we have narrowed down here in Psalm 70, in these five little verses, we see, I would like to picture Jesus here in the garden or even on the cross at that last little bit before salvation is purchased, before redemption is actually accomplished, that last little part of the tragedy, humanly speaking, of the salvation that Christ has applied, has purchased for his people. And it starts in verse 1, "Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Jehovah." And we see here the Son of God, but acting as the God-man, hanging or preparing himself to hang on the cross, accursed and ashamed for your sin, through no fault of his own. The tragedy, the heartbreak of this for the Christian is that we made it so, and we made it worse. Through every sin that we've committed, we brought pain and cursing upon Jesus, the perfect Son of God. And we see him calling to the Father here, "Make haste to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Jehovah," the covenant name of God, the name that God revealed himself to Moses as the one who is, as the Father, or as the God of the covenant, the one who has arranged for this salvation. "Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my hurt. Let them be turned back because of their shame, who say, aha, aha." Now, the first time you read through this, or even other times, if you do it without self-examination, if you don't have a poetic heart, you wonder about that, who say, aha, aha. And we say, aha. Right? Sometimes you go along, you're looking for something, you say, aha, I found it. That's not what they're talking about. Remember in the last couple Psalms when they talk about his name being made a byword, to be scoffed at and laughed. Ha, look at him, is what they're talking about. Those who mock the Son of God. Those who mock the Lord of creation. The King of kings and the Lord of lords, who set themselves above him, making fun of him. Making fun of him because he's engaged in this act of salvation. He purposely volunteered to be put down for our sake. And instead of being glorified for that, they mock him. They laugh. In these two verses, you notice you don't see personal vengeance. Rather, you see justice asked for. Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Father, don't let my death be permanent. Let them be ashamed and confounded. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my hurt. It's the desiring of the hurt of the innocent that's being looked at. And then finally, let them be turned back because of their shame who do these things, the psalmist says. The picture then turns from those reprobate who seek to harm the Lord of creation, to exalt themselves into his place, actually, to put themselves in judgment over God. But turns from them to those, well, to us, to those who would be saved by this act of salvation. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Now, we saw in the psalm, the call to worship, in the psalm that we've sung, that the church's job is to sing this song that God put in our mouth, the book of Psalms that he put in our mouths, that the God, the Father, the one who purchased the salvation, would be magnified, would be exalted and be praised. So this verse looks to us as individuals, certainly, and I'm not going to deny that. The Psalter does have a lot of personal one-on-one applications. But here it's the church overall that's being looked at, not just individual believers. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad, and let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. That's our job down through history now. And then the last tragic line, it hadn't been done yet, but I am poor and needy. Make haste to me, O God. And there's the generic name for God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Jehovah, do not delay. It wasn't, as I've been pointing out in the past few weeks, cost-free. It wasn't an act or a pantomime play that Jesus went through to point to himself. People teach that he's just pointing to death as the result of sin. And so, you know, think about that and how you can avoid your death by the example that was acted out. It wasn't that. It wasn't that at all. It was costly. As it said in the New Testament, you are his sheep and you have been purchased with a price. Let's never forget that it's not our salvation alone that we owe God, which is plenty, but it's selfish in nature. But think about what we owe him, what he did for us, and what love the Father had for us, that he would allow his Son to be separated, punished, killed, so that your salvation could be bought, so that your lives could be redeemed. And so that you could be sitting here today, safe from the fires of hell, joined into this body of the church, brothers and sisters alike, love throughout, love for God with us, and in a position to joyfully and gratefully thank the Father for what he has done, to gratefully and emotionally thank Jesus for the price he paid for you. And to let God be magnified as we say continually the words he's put in our mouth to bring to the world this picture of salvation and what salvation looks like on earth and the promises of what salvation looks like from eternity to those whom, as it says, seek you, who rejoice in you, and who are glad in you. We'll sing Psalm 70 now, and we'll sing version B. And let's not think about David suffering in the desert, but rather Jesus suffering on the cross that we might be saved. Be gracious, be grateful, and in a way sympathetic for what he went through on your behalf. Psalm 70, version B.